Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. I woke up this morning and I was going to preach on Psalm 101, had everything ready, and this verse was in my spirit. I'm talking about when my eyes woke up this morning at 6:15, God was speaking this. My Bible college, the president of my Bible college that I attended, also taught the life of Christ. And he would always go back to this Old Testament scripture. And he was like the Christian Regis Philbin. He had a booming voice. And shout out to David Cook if you ever watched this. But he would walk in the back door of that college classroom and he would say this. And he would say it something like this. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. And then he just started teaching. But he said it every day. And so this morning I didn't hear God's voice. I heard David Cook's voice. But God said, that's what I want you to preach today. Don't worry about Psalm 101 today. We'll save that for another time. But Isaiah 46, I want to read it like I would read it. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. My counsel will stand. My counsel is not a verb here, it's a noun. My counsel, that which I have put together, will stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. Let me just encourage you before you sit down. If God has not done all of his pleasure in your life, it's not over. If God's pleasure has not been done 100%, get ready, because God still has a lot of living in you left to do. Before you're seated, I don't know if I'm preaching to everybody today, but I've come to tell somebody today to remember God, to remember the God you serve, to remember the Word of God, to remember what God has promised you, that He has not forgotten, that He is not slack concerning that promise, that what He said He will do. I thought I'd get a better amen right there. Even if you don't need something right now, that's something to amen, that what God has promised, He is faithful to perform, that there are 3,000 promises in the Word of God, and every one of them belongs to you as a believer. You have a right to those promises, and God said, it is my pleasure to do my pleasure. Amen. So I'm going to preach on one word for a few moments today, and that word is remember. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, remember. 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 You may be seated. Back in the 1990s, when Saturday Night Live was funny, there was a comedy duo of David Spade and Chris Farley. Chris Farley had a skit where he would sit down with famous people and his entire interview would consist of asking them, do you remember? And he would go to the most iconic things that these actors and these famous people had ever done. To Michael Jackson, hey, do you remember when you moonwalked? Hey, do you remember when you made Thriller, the music video? Do you remember? And he would and every time they would say, of course I remember, I was there. And then he'd get embarrassed, he'd pull his hair out. My kids, when they were younger, they would ask me, Dad, you remember? So they wouldn't say remember, they say member. Dad, you remember? And I said, I do remember. That was yesterday, like 14 hours ago, literally. I do remember when that happened. And so our memory can serve as a great asset in our walk with God, or it can be the greatest liability to our walk with God. Because it all comes down to this. What do you remember about your past? Do you remember the great, or do you remember the not so great? Do you really zone in on things that were hurtful, things that were hateful, things that you went through that were not pleasant? Or do you tend to look back and draw from the great times in your life and say, even though it was difficult, I tend to overlook the difficulties and I look at the bright spots and I look at the fun that I had or the lesson I learned or that great moment in my life. Pastor Sean, I know most of you have never heard him preach. Pastor Sean preached one of the greatest messages I've ever heard about 19 or 20 years ago in Houston, Texas, at River of Life Church, and it was on God's selective amnesia. That God is so powerful, and this ought to bless somebody today, in a nutshell, that God is so powerful, He chooses to remember the best part of us. And thank God He forgets the worst part of us. All the sin and the shame and the mess ups and the mistakes that you have made, the mess ups and mistakes that I've made, and don't let nobody in their three-piece suit and their makeup and their hair did and their hat, don't let them fool you today. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, and it is our testimony that we stand here in our right mind today. It's our testimony. Let me tell you something. I don't know about everybody on this platform, but I'm going to tell you, it's a testimony that Rachel's here singing for Jesus today. Is it not, Rachel? It's a testimony that some of these band members are over here playing for Jesus and not playing for the world. It's a testimony. Some of you, if we would have told you 3 years ago that you'd be in church on a Sunday morning, you'd have called us a liar. But here you sit. Thank God that He's brought us from a very long way. But thank God that all of the bad part of Brandon is covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. That His grace is sufficient. That His mercy is fresh every morning. But I thank God that He chooses to remember me. The Bible says when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, He took your name and wrote it in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Book of Remembrance, so that when you take your last breath here, you can take your first breath there. I'm thankful that God remembers what He needs to remember and forgets what He doesn't need to remember. And if we are to be imitators of God, we have to get good at that. Remembering the best part of life. Forgetting, not ignoring, but forgetting the mistakes. Learn from them, chalk it up as a learning experience, and move on. One of my coaches used to tell me, we don't win and lose, we win and we learn. You never lose, you just learn. You learn not to do it that way the next time. You learn not to go down that path. You learn not to meet somebody at FarmersOnly.com or Christian Mingles or Where Ebony's Meet or whatever you're on. You learn not to do that. You learn not to trust that kind of person. You know not to do that. You know not to think that. And so we don't live and or we don't win and lose. We win and we learn. And so everything in my life that was bad, I look back on it not as bad, but I say, God, in that You brought something that is good. In that I learned something that caused me to cling to You a little stronger, that caused me to focus my eyesight on You and follow You a little clearer. And so here we see that God is encouraging us through the prophet Isaiah to remember the former things, remember the old things. And so here is one of the few times when God says, I want you to look back. Man, most faith preachers, and I would be guilty of this, we're always forget those things which are behind you and press toward. And here God is saying, I want you to stop what you're doing, turn around, and I want you to remember where I brought you from. You have the power, we have the power to select what we remember and select what we forget. Pastor Mandy says, I have a problem. She says that I don't remember conversations that I've had with her. I think that is my selective amnesia kicking in. And we, amen, I got a husband out there that amens me. I think that was Brother Oscar in the back. Notice he said amen from the back row at his usher place and not next to Sister Joanne up here on the third row. I might have to give you a ride home, brother. Now she said amen. I heard her. Conversations I have with Mandy
I don't always remember them. And so when it comes time for me to do what I was supposed to do and I don't do it, she says, hey, what's going on? And I say, I never said that. She said, yeah, you did say that. And so we've come to realize that the most important conversations can't be had face-to-face. They have to be memorialized through text. So when I say, I don't remember that, she says, you don't? Well, let's go back 3 weeks. Let's see what the text says. And then I blame Siri for not understanding me. No, just kidding. So we have the power to select what we remember, what we forget. You have the power. Listen to this. And this is going to bless somebody today. And it's not that we're naive. It's not that we're callous to your past. And maybe it's a horrific past. But you have to forget what people did to you and start remembering what God did for you. So many of us are a captive to our past. And constantly we are rehashing and reliving what somebody 10 years ago or longer did to us. And while we are concentrating on what they did to us, we cannot step into what God has for us because we're so concerned with getting even. We're so concerned with getting over. Listen, if you have Jesus and you have the power of the Holy Spirit and you have the blood of Christ, you don't have to get over what they did. You just have to get under what God has done. And I'm here to free you from what somebody said about you. What somebody, well, Pastor, you don't know what my stepdad did, and I went through this and that. I'm here to tell you, I'm sorry that you had to go through that, but just like Joseph, your testimony could be, I wish I didn't have to go through all of that, but God has turned what you meant to evil for my good. I wish you didn't do that to me, but rather than talk about what you did to me, let me testify what my God did for me. Y'all missed an exciting time at Living Way. How many of you have been here longer than 20 years? Just raise your hand. It's a lot of us. Y'all remember testimony service? Yeah. Testimony service was always fun. Because you never knew who, you just had people stand up and you would take them a live microphone. Yeah. And we had to quit doing that because a couple people abused the privilege. But one of the things, and I remember this as a little boy, sitting on the second row with my grandma, I remember Bishop would say on a Wednesday night, we used it on Wednesday nights, if God's done something good and you'd like to share, stand up. And there'd be five or six people stand up. And he'd put that mic, and one of the things you learn is you never let go of the mic. Just put it over in front of their face. And they would begin to talk about the devil. The devil hates me. And the devil did this. And the devil did that. And they'd go on for 90 seconds about what the devil did. And about all the hate that the devil has for him. And then Bishop would finally say, are you going to get to the good part? Are you going to spend just as much time glorifying Jesus as you did glorifying the devil? And I'd be sitting there saying, ooh, I'm glad somebody else is getting it. That's what I get at home. Now everybody else is getting it. We should never spend more time glorifying the devil's work against us and to us at a level that is even near us testifying what God has done for us. Let me tell you, if you speak 5 seconds about what the devil tried to do, you ought to give God 5 minutes. He's worthy of that praise. He's worthy of you talking about what he did. All the devil thought he had me, but look at what the Lord has done. All the devil tried to give me cancer, but let me tell you, the God that died on a cross and took stripes on his back, he paid for my healing. Let me tell you, the doctor had to look in my eyes and say, everything has changed. I'd rather concentrate on what God has done for me than what people have done to me. Put my arm around somebody's neck this week and I said, how you doing? They said, man, the haters are getting to me. I said, you'll never live on this earth without haters. You have to learn to live with them without letting what they say and do get in you. See, we have way too many people that give an ear to there, but not an ear to him. And when their voice gets louder than his voice is when you start having fear, when you start having doubt, when you start getting depressed. But as long as your ear is tuned to the throne room of God and you spend some time in prayer and you let God's word come into your life, what they say about you is never going to be greater than what God has already spoken in you and about you. I want to encourage you, remember the God that you serve. When you look back over your life, don't look and concentrate on the bad parts. Look back and say, God, I remember where I was 18 years ago, but look at how far you brought me. Man, I wish I didn't have to go through that, but look at me now. Man, we didn't have no money growing up, but look at me now. Look at what I'm driving. Look at how I'm living. Look at where I'm working. All because of you, Jesus. It's not what people do to you. Remember what God does for you. Three things I want to tell you, and I don't know if these are going to be earth-shattering revelations, but I believe it's going to help you. Number one is this: the devil is not God. I think that the thing that we talk about the most, the things that we spend pursuing the most, the things that we spend doing the most, I would say that that's our God. And I think that's very simplistic in its thought. And so what you talk about, what you do the most, and what you pursue, that's number one in your life. Now, when you pursue what you talk and what you do, when you identify that, what is alarming is you might be sitting in a church on Sunday, but the God of the New Testament might not be your God. Because we ain't seen you in 6 months. We hadn't seen you since last Easter or Christmas. And here you sit today saying, I'm a believer. Oh, you're a believer. There's a lot of people that believe in God. But when we talk about believing God and following Jesus, it's entirely two different things. And so a lot of us spend more time talking about the adversary and about what the adversary has done, and look at how he's come against me, and he's brought all of hell against me, and hell has broken loose on my job, and hell has broken loose in my marriage, and that's all we talk about is hell, 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 hell. You got to quit talking about all the hell and start talking about the heaven that is created through the presence of God. Whatever you talk about the most is what you serve, and whatever you talk about the most is what's going to show up and where you're going to live. So I choose to talk about heaven. I choose to talk about God. The devil is not my God. He's not big G God. He is little G God. But there are a whole lot of people following him because that's all they talk about. And it's not about dressing up on Halloween. I'm talking about what you pursue the other 364 days a year. You said, I would never pursue the adversary. You might not pursue him, but you talk about him like you're in a relationship. The devil is not God. Number two. You are not God. That's either good news or bad news. You are not God. What I like about that is it relieves me of the responsibility to do the impossible. When I'm able to look in the mirror every morning and realize, Brandon, you might rule your world, but you don't rule the world. You might control your thoughts, but you don't control everybody else's thoughts. You might control your actions, but you don't control everybody else's actions. But then I'm able to step away and say, and that's okay, God, because I serve the God that does all of those things. Man, I was in between services. I was watching Pastor Ron Carpenter, and I love this. This goes along with what I'm saying. He said, a lot of us are favor, 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 and we think favor is when God does something for us and when God speaks to us. He said, favor is not when God speaks to you about you. Favor is when God speaks to somebody else about you. And so, see, I know that I can't control the people around me, but I do know that God controls the people around me. I can't control my circumstances, but I do know that I serve a God that can control my circumstances. And so when I realize that the adversary is not my God, and I realize that when I look in the mirror, I'm not my God, that leaves one left, and that is Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful that I can rest in the promise, and I can lean back into him during the day and say, God, that person person has done lost their mind, but it ain't my problem. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. And God says, don't worry about that. I'll make that crooked path straight. Don't worry about that report. I'm going to put that under the blood. Don't worry about that, what that person said against you. I'm taking you over here and I'm going to do this. You ought to thank your, not lucky stars, your blessed stars, that you're not God, but you know the God that is God. The devil ain't God. You're not God. Here's the big revelation number three. God is God. He looked for someone to swear by. Couldn't find nobody. So he swore by himself. God said, listen. God said, not only did you look for other people, I looked for other options. I looked at Muhammad. Come on now. I looked at Buddha. I looked at Hare Krishna. I looked at Allah. I looked at all of the other options, and I could not find one more powerful than myself. And so when I swore, and when I laid the foundation, I swore by myself. All of this to say this. Remember the former things of old. God is encouraging us through Isaiah to remember who our God is. Let me take you. We got a couple minutes here. Let me take you to Isaiah chapter 46, verses 5 and 7 that precede where we started today. To whom ye liken me, this is God speaking through Isaiah. To whom ye liken me, you make me equal and compare me, that we may be like, me and other gods. They lavish gold out of their bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire goldsmith, and he maketh it a god, little g. They fall down, they worship that god, they bear him up on their shoulder, they carry him, they set him in the place and he stands, and from that place he shall not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet he does not answer, nor save him out of the trouble. That's King James Version. Let's go to Message Bible. You're going to love this. Same verses. So to whom will you compare me, the incomparable? Can you picture me without reducing me? People with a lot of money hire craftsmen to make their gods. The artisan delivers their god and they kneel and worship it. They're carried around in holy parades. Then they take it home and put it on a shelf, and there it sits day and night, day in and day out. A dependable god, little g, because you always know right where you put him. Saying anything you want to him, but he never talks back. And of course, he never does anything. When we remember what God has done, it sets us into position for what God is going to do. If you say, I don't know where God is going, it's because you don't know where God has been. If you don't say, I can't see where God is taking me, it's because you don't remember where God took you from. I always know what God is going to do by what he has already done. I wish I had some help in here today. That it's not a riddle. It's not a rhyme. I'm not hoping that God shows up. Oh, I know my God is going to show up. Oh, why? Because I remember the God that I serve. And when I think about the last 19 years of my life, my faith surges, my faith grows, my faith gets strong. People that say, I don't remember. People that don't remember what God has done. It says a lot. People that don't remember, number one, they don't come to church. Because if you remembered where God brought you from, we wouldn't have to announce it and push on social media. Remember, it's halftime, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You would be here if you remembered. Jabin Chavez, my friend, said this. So you're telling me that as disciples who we are supposed to lay down our physical lives for Jesus, if it gets to that point, that we're supposed to be martyrs for Jesus. Are you telling me that as a disciple, you will give your life for Jesus, but you won't come to his house? So we can tell if we remember God and we remember what he's done by our presence at church. You know, another way we can tell if you remember how you worship. If you watched them worship, you forgot. If you watched, if you listened to the band play and all you could do was get your little Holy Ghost, little shimmy and rock on, and you didn't lift your hands and you didn't hit your knees, some kind of expression of worship, you forgot what God did. If you don't praise, you forgot. You haven't remembered. Because praise is what? Thank you, Jesus, for what you did in my life. Thank you for not leaving me there. Thank you for bringing me here. Thank you for taking me there. My praise is conditioned by me remembering. You hear that phrase, backslide? People who backslide simply don't remember. Because if they remembered, they wouldn't backslide. You can't be at a church like this for 5 years and then go back to the clubs without consciously saying, I choose to forget all that he has done for me. The devil does not make anybody backslide because you are in the hand of the Father. Anyone that backslides, nobody pulled you out, nobody pushed you out, you stepped out. And you step out because you forget. And you forget because you don't worship. You forget because you don't praise. You forget because you don't come to his house or get his house to come to you. You forget. But not this church. We remember. I remember what God has done in my life. I remember what God has brought me from. I remember what God had to do to get me from there to where I'm standing today. Do you remember? Do you remember how hard your heart was and what Jesus had to get in there with a jackhammer and break all the hardness off of you to make your heart pliable so that you could hear the word? Don't you remember everything God did for you to hear the gospel of Jesus preached to you? He had to pull you out of the miry clay. He had to pull you out of the muck and the mud. Also, oh, come on, somebody. Do you remember? Do you remember? Backsliders, they choose to forget. Backsliders, they choose not to remember. People that don't remember don't serve. See, we always are making a plea. Join a team. Become a part of the body of Christ. You say, are you doing that because you need the help? We always need the help. But we're doing that because it gives you a place to say, God, I remember what you did for me, and now I'm going to make it happen for someone else. Because serving is the most unselfish act you can give. And an unselfish act, remember, it reminds us and tells us, defines and illustrates within us, I remember where God brought me from. So I'm willing to get down, to get dirty, to work, to serve, to do what I need to do. Remember this, what you remember will determine what you see next. What you remember of God yesterday determines what you'll see in God tomorrow. God is not far away from me. He stands with me, but he still stands there. And he still stands there. Days when I want to give up, I remember. Days that I want to throw in the towel. You say, you're a pastor. No, I'm a man. Days that I don't want to stick it out, I remember. God says, wait, you're going to give all that up? The last 18 years of your life because you've had 18 bad minutes, because you've had 18 bad days, you're going to give up the last 18 years? And what I have in front of you, it is what I remember that causes me to be resolute in my faith that what God has promised is still in front of me. It's still what's going to happen in my life if I'll remember. If I remember, Psalm 103 says, forget not the benefits. David said it a different way than Isaiah. Isaiah said, remember. David said, forget not. Same thing. Remember. Remember the benefits. Forget not the benefits of the Lord. We go in to read this in verse 2. Who forgives iniquities? Forgiveness. Who heals all diseases? Healing. Who redeems life from destruction? Redeems. who crowns those with loving kindness and tender mercies, he crowns, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, he satisfies. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all those that are oppressed. He executes the benefits of God, forgiveness, healing, redeeming, crowning, satisfying, and execution. All of those things happen when I remember. I remember what it was like a few years ago when I got the call that Bishop was not going to live through the night. I remember walking this building, the back of this building, while they airlifted him from an hour and a half south of here to Bamsey, now Samsey. I remember my mom sitting in a chair right here and me walking this building declaring the word of the Lord that he would live and not die. I didn't feel like it, but in the moments when I didn't feel like it, I remembered. Time when my flesh says forget, my spirit says remember. Time when people come against me and say God's not going to come through, the spirit whispers and says remember. God's brought me too far to leave me here. And if I remember what he's done, it gives me faith for what he's about to do. And I've come to encourage somebody's spirit today. Remember the former things of old. For God is God and there is none like him. God is God and there is none else. His counsel shall stand and he will do all of his pleasure. Stand on your feet. Sometimes in developing these thoughts, I run into a dead end. And this verse that God woke me up with this morning, it provided a dead end this morning till about 8:45. Because I said, God, I have 18 years of walking with you to draw from. I have 15 years of marriage. I've gone through some things with my kids and some health scares and developmental scares with my kids, and I've walked those paths for 18 years. I said, God, it's easy for me to remember. Because when I'm down, I just look the last 18 years and say, God, you did it there, you did it there, you did it there, you did it there. Okay, God, I'm through throwing my pity party. You'll do it here. But I've been saved for 18 years. And the brick wall that I ran into was, God, what do I tell the people that have been saved for 3 weeks? What do they draw from? Because they don't have 18 years or like Brother Leslie here, they don't have decades of God's goodness under their belt. And God said, oh, they draw from the easiest thing to draw from. They draw from the wells of salvation. Because this, he said, you believe because of what I've done for you. They believe because I saved them. Your belief is based on my past performance. Their belief is based on who I am. That if he's big enough to save them, he can do anything and everything you need him to do in your life. Everything else is gravy. So somebody that's been saved for 3 days, they say, man, I'm having trouble believing. Well, that was the club. That was my ex-wife. That was the job I got fired. There's nothing there. Well, 3 days ago, I got saved. Now, hold on. God, if you could save me. God, if you could save my soul from eternal damnation and put me on streets of gold, living in a mansion, if you can do that, then God, this body, you can do that in the snap of a finger, the twinkling of an eye. I don't know who I'm talking to today, whether you're drawing from the wells of salvation or you're drawing from the track record of God for the last 25 years of your life. I just came to tell you this morning what God told me this morning, 6:15, remember. Remember the God you serve. Listen, I quit talking to some of my friends because every time I talk to them, they're talking about this Tuesday's election. And I just got to tell them, remember.
We've been through some bad ones. We've been through some good ones. And some of our opinions are different. None of that matters. I'm not remembering what that president did and what that. I'm remembering what God said. I want to open this altar right now for those of you that are ready to remember. You're facing something insurmountable, it seems, in your life. You're facing something that is bigger than you would like.